A new byline debuts this weekend in the On Language column of the New York Times Magazine. Like the crossword, On Language is a Sunday morning tradition for many readers. The venerable William Safire started the column and presided over it for 30 years before his death last year. He did have help from a circle of language mavens, among them linguist Ben Zimmer, who is taking over the column. He joined us from our studios in New York. Good morning.
Good morning, Renee.
You know, I'd just like to get one thing out of the way. How intimidating is it to take over William Safire, Bill Safire's column? I mean, he owned it.
Yes, he did for 30 years. It is a little intimidating, I have to say, especially because I can't possibly reproduce William Safire's very distinctive voice. I'll put my own stamp on it. I'll come at it in some ways in a perhaps a more scholarly way because of my background in linguistics, linguistic anthropology. But also, you know, I will be casting a wide net, you know, everything from technology to pop culture, highbrow, lowbrow, everything in between. I'll be on the lookout for all sorts of new developments that are happening in language.
Well, we do have some idea of what you're interested in. You, of course, have a website, and it's called visualthesaurus.com. And just recently, you took up the new uses of Kanye West's name.
That's right. Actually, that's an interesting example from pop culture, where everybody, I think, at this point is familiar with the moment last year when Kanye West interrupted Taylor Swift at the MTV Video Music Awards. And it was such a watershed moment that his name, Kanye, became a verb to Kanye, or sometimes to pull a Kanye, meaning to interrupt someone while they're giving a speech, like at an awards show. Sure enough, it came into play at the Oscars when Eleanor Burkett, during the documentary short award, sure enough, right away, people were saying, wow, she Kanye'd that guy.
And of course, what had happened is she interrupted her co-producer on the winning film and just took over the speech and sort of said, I'm going to talk now.
That's right. And everybody remembered Kanye. And so that new word got a new lease on life from very similar circumstances.
Your first column for the New York Times Magazine, which will appear this coming Sunday, is in the Safire tradition of focusing on the political uses of words and terms. You begin your stint with the first words that most of us ever use, no and yes.
I looked at these two very basic words and how they're being used in politics and pop culture as well. Very much in the Safire vein, we have the party of no, with the Democrats describing Republican obstructionism in those terms. But funnily enough, it actually goes back to Ronald Reagan criticizing the Democrats as the party of no back in 1988. And since then, it's sort of been a ping pong ball back and forth. Whoever is the party in charge calls the opposition the party of no.
You refer to an online sort of Hollywood gossip blog and take an expression from that. You know, this actress is a bucket of no.
That's right. I also quote the movie Juno. That's a big fat sack of no. Interesting new ways people are using language that way.
Have there been times when a particular phrase or usage of a certain term has stumped you?
These days, it's possible to do research on these things much more easily than we could before. So I remember being asked about, you're not the boss of me. People might think that it comes from the 80s or the 90s, but in fact, it's quite old. You can find examples from the late 19th century in very similar situations like a petulant child complaining about an older sibling, you're not the boss of me. That's a kind of a hidden history that, because we have these great tools at our disposal now, we can uncover this history and tell a new story about words and phrases that might be familiar with us, but we really don't know where they come from until we sort of do this detective work.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
And, you know, all the best of luck on taking over the column On Language in the New York Times Magazine.
Great. Thank you.